For about 7 years, many Western beekeepers have been plagued by unexplained die-offs in their hives. It happened recently to Mark Emmerich.
Well, I was doing great until about 5 weeks ago, and then I came down and opened up the hives, and I had 5 dead boxes of bees, and that was a huge hit.
He lost 1/3 of his production. Emmerich sports a bushy beard and a ball cap with the logo of the Washington State Beekeepers Association. He's the group's president. Emmerich shows no fear of being stung as he gently lifts a lid to check on his remaining bees. They shelter inside hives on a small farm near Olympia.
It's very hard to deal with bee losses. They're kind of like your little livestock, and you try to really manage them and take care of them the best you can. And, you know, when they die off, you feel that you've failed.
Even before the die-off in his hives, Emmerich was writing letters to government officials. He wants some potentially risky and widely used pesticides pulled from store shelves. But here's a twist. The Washington beekeepers propose to leave big agriculture alone. Rather, they're targeting home and garden use of common bug killers, rose and flower treatments, and grub controls.
We have people who are using it who don't understand all the implications, and the labeling is very inadequate as far as what it actually will kill. So basically, the idea was we'll at least get it out of the hands of the general public.
The insecticides in question belong to a class called neonicotinoids, neonics for short. They appear in more than 100 different garden products sold under brand names such as Bayer, Ortho, and Scotts. A range of studies have shown significant adverse effects on bees exposed to high doses in the lab. But separate studies using more realistic field conditions show minimal harm or are inconclusive. Pesticide makers argue banning neonics would not save a single hive. Barb Glenn oversees science and regulatory affairs for an industry association called CropLife America.
If we use these products according to the label, then we don't see an effect on pollinators or honeybees that are contiguous to these fields where we're using these products.
Glenn says it's in her industry's best interest to safeguard bees because agriculture needs pollinators to thrive. In her view, many factors conspire against bee survival. She ticks off a list.
Diseases, parasites. It includes the availability of habitat.
For what it's worth, her long list looks almost the same as what I get from independent researchers at Oregon and Washington State Universities.
And also pesticide use is also a part of that continuum.
WSU entomologist Steve Shepard says a lot of new research is focusing on the pesticide angle.
There's not a consensus in the scientific community that the levels that are found, you know, in agricultural crops, for example, have been directly linked to, you know, colony losses. But some countries in Europe, for example, have taken a more prudent approach to not use those pesticides until, you know, they feel like all the data are in.
That's also the gist of the petition for rulemaking before the Washington State Department of Agriculture. The agency's initial response was to ask all affected parties to send in their best science. The state plans to announce in early June whether it sees enough evidence to draft tighter rules for home and garden bug killers. I'm Tom Bonsi in Olympia.